New Yorker magazine writer Lawrence Wright has also been reading documents and web postings from al-Qaeda and others, and in this week's issue of the magazine, he writes that the thinking of jihadist groups has moved away from bin Laden toward that of other, less familiar figures.
The three that I deal with are Abu Musab al-Suri and Abu Bakr Naji, and then an Islamist journalist in Jordan called Fuad Hussein. And the thinking that they reflect is more what's current in al-Qaeda circles, the kind of things that are going out on the internet that young idealistic jihadis are reading and talking about. Most of the stuff that comes from bin Laden and Zawahiri is directed at the West, not at their own followers.
But people who read these thinkers might very well read criticisms of bin Laden and Zawahiri, saying they brought about an untimely confrontation with the West, let's say, through 9/11.
Oh, yes, indeed. There's a lot of angry talk about the miscalculations that bin Laden and his followers made, and especially in 9/11, which was a disaster for the al-Qaeda community. These critics felt that bin Laden was leading them into a battle they couldn't win. And indeed, after 9/11, the American and coalition troops that swept through Afghanistan knocked aside the Taliban with astonishing ease and pummeled al-Qaeda to the point that, according to their own documents, 80 to 85% of their membership was killed or captured. The remaining group was scattered, demoralized, and repudiated all over the world.
These theorists of jihad seem preoccupied with demonstrating a plan with several phases. I mean, in several points in your article in The New Yorker, you read these sequences of phases that they see as
right.
Experiencing. I guess they're out to demonstrate that what seems an utterly, from their standpoint, utopian proposition, worldwide political Islam, is doable, and they can see how to get from here to there.
Well, they do have a 20-year plan, a master plan. It is a little chilling to read and see how, to some extent, we follow the script. They claim that it begins with the attack on America on September 11th, the first stage ending with the fall of Baghdad, and that Baghdad and Iraq then become a recruiting ground for jihadis who then spill back into their own countries and wage jihad, and then within another 6 years pull down their own regimes, establish a caliphate, and by the year 2020, the Islamic army will have involved a total apocalyptic war with the unbelievers. That's the scenario that they sketch out for their own consumption.
You write that American policymakers appear to be playing into the hands of these theorists of jihad, even though they're familiar with their texts. You write it's as if they've been slavishly following the playbook described for them. What should the U.S. do instead? What should it do differently from what it's doing now?
I think the main thing that I'm concerned about is the plan that the Islamists have scripted for us is to attack Iran and to put that into play. They see that as the great opportunity. Iran will do things that they can't do. Iran will destroy the oil facilities in Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf, and driving up the cost of energy all over the world out of sight. Iran will activate Hezbollah. They also see they would like to have the U.S. try to take out the Iranian proxy in Syria. That's a long-time al-Qaeda goal. They would like nothing more than to get rid of Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian dictator, which would lay open Syria to Islamist forces and put them cheek by jowl with Israel at last.
So you say that a war in Iran is appealing to these theorists of jihad because it creates greater chaos and instability and brings them closer to a situation they feel they could manipulate.
Moreover, it also overextends American forces and makes them weak and ineffective elsewhere. So it's a double victory for them. The tasks that they would like to do, which are destroying Western economies and overextending American forces and Israeli forces as well, would be easily accomplished by these proxies.
Do you get the impression, as you learn about the writings of Islamist theorists, that they have a sophisticated understanding of the United States, or for that matter, of the West more broadly? Or is it a fairly naive picture they draw of the West?
The theorist that I'm talking about, like Abu Musab al-Suri, he's lived in the West. He married a Spanish woman and has Spanish citizenship. He lived in France. He's very acquainted with the West. So I think that they are great students of the Western mind, much more so than we have been. We have been so stuck on the idea that the way to fight al-Qaeda is to kill and capture the leadership. Obviously, the forces of jihad are being replenished at a greater rate than we've been able to kill or capture them. So I think a better approach would be to study their thoughts and to attack them at that level, at the level of politics and practicality. You know, al-Qaeda doesn't offer anything to its followers. It doesn't have a political platform. It's an empty vessel, and if we can point that out, we'd gain a lot of ground, I think.
That's Lawrence Wright speaking to us from Austin, Texas. His article in The New Yorker is called The Master Plan. His new book is called The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11. Thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thanks, Robert.